Okie dokie. Okay, so today's class, we are doing Parshas Chayei Sarah, and it's basically one main storyline, and this is the Avram asking Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak. So, since I still have the second volume of the Shvilei Pinchas from Rav Pinchas Friedman that we quoted last week, he only has two volumes printed, so we're good for the next few weeks. So the topic is how to find the right shidduch and keep your shalom bayis. Now, for some of you, it might be a little past that time, but it's very interesting information, and it can always help for your children or you can for other people. And it explains a lot of things, and at least we'll understand a lot of customs that we have. And as time allows, we'll see how far we can go with this. So let's look at the first source, where Avram Avinu calls his trusted servant Eliezer, and he makes him make an oath. That's what the word adjure means. And I will adjure you by the Lord, the God of the heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife from my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose midst I dwell. He says, I want you to make an oath, and the oath is in the name of the God of the heavens above and of the earth below, that you will not, when you have to find a wife for my son, do not get a Canaanite wife. Go to where I used to live, in Ur Kasdim, over there, in Haran, rather, and find a wife for him. So, there's a problem with this pasuk that the Eben Ezra addresses, but you wouldn't really know what the problem is until you look a little further. So we're going to skip the Eben Ezra in source 2, and we're going to source 3, where the actual oath happens. Avram makes the oath, and as he says, the Lord God of the heavens who took me from my father's house, etc., etc., etc. So Rashi notes right away there's a discrepancy between source 1 and source 3. In source 3, 4 psukim later, he's called Hashem is the God of the heavens who took me from my father's house. But he didn't say the God of the earth, which he said earlier in Pasuk Gimel. In Pasuk Gimel, he said Elokei Haaretz, but now he's not saying Elokei Haaretz. Okay, do you see the problem? In Pasuk Gimel, he said, Eliezer, I'm going to make an oath based on who? The God of the heaven and the God of the earth. Then 4 psukim later, as he said, the God of the heavens who took me out of my father's house. What happened to the God of the earth? So Rashi points out the discrepancy. And Rashi says, the answer is that when Hashem took me out of my father's house, the world only recognized him as he was only the God of the heavens. People down below didn't recognize him. After I did my Avodas Hashem for the last number of years, now he is now, I've got man to change, and now his name is familiar on earth, and he is now the God of earth as well. And that's a very good pshat, poshut pshat in the pasuk, and that's what Rashi gives us.
So said Avraham made the world that Hashem.
That's right. So now Hashem is recognized as the God of the earth. Eben Ezra takes a different approach. His words are very few in number. You got the English, I'll say the Hebrew, but the English is there. V'tam Elokei Hashemayim V'Elokei Haaretz B'Makom HaZeh. Why is he mentioning both the God of the heaven and the God of the earth in this place? Which he doesn't say later on. So he's assuming you know a Gemara. Ki bas ploni laploni ba'aretz min hashemayim. There's a Gemara that says the daughter of so-and-so is destined to get married to so-and-so on the earth, and this is from heaven. And then he ends off, Vahu sod, and this is a mystical secret. There's a big mystical secret I'm sharing with you. So let's try to understand what he's saying. And what he's saying isn't that overly difficult. There is a Gemara that we'll see in more detail shortly. Gemara says that before the child is conceived, a voice from heaven says, the daughter of so-and-so is destined to marry the son of so-and-so. The shidduch is made in Shemayim before the children are conceived. Okay. So that's what the Eben Ezra is referring to. It says the daughter of so-and-so to so-and-so in the earth. Hashem is saying there's going to be a shidduch between this boy and this girl. It's going to happen on earth, but it started off in heaven. It started off in heaven. And that's what he's saying. He is saying, Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Haaretz, the God of the heaven and earth, I'm going to make you swear in terms of what shidduch you're going to make. Because in heaven, Hashem has already predicted the shidduch. And that's going to happen down on earth. So now that you're a shaliach, you're a messenger, you should do the will of Hashem that has been decreed to find the right shidduch. That's why it's called the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. Don't think it's just, you just randomly pick anybody. Hashem has already chosen it, so you're really a messenger of God, not just a messenger of me. It's a very nice pshat. So what's the problem? The problem is, why does he say at the end, and this is a mystical secret, there's nothing mystical here. It seems pretty good. So what does the Evan Ezra mean that this is a mystical secret? This is what we have to understand. Okay, that's the first thing we have to understand. Another thing we have to understand is when Eliezer goes to Haran, he has to figure out a way. How in the world is he supposed to figure out how to find the right girl? Avram gives him no instructions. Avram just says, go to my home, my old home, and find a girl.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
We talked about this, I don't remember. Why does he send Eliezer to do this and find a wife to his son?
Who else is he going to send?
Why wouldn't he go? He's not allowed to leave.
He's old.
First of all, he's an older man.
Oh.
Second of all, who's going to take care of the Achnosas Orchim?
Right.
That's going on.
They would kill him there.
Right.
They're upset.
And whatever, but he's chosen Eliezer. And there's a lot of other reasons. Eliezer, it's for Eliezer's benefit to do this. We gave a previous class many years ago that this enabled Eliezer to reach his full potential. It's another class. You could look up on our old online classes about Eliezer. Eliezer gains his freedom, ultimately, from the integrity that he showed in getting Yitzhak. But the question is, Avram doesn't give him much criteria. He just says, go find a wife. So I guess Avram must have figured Eliezer would know how to find him.
And Eliezer is very smart.
Well, he's a very smart man. But it's interesting, he doesn't give him any criteria. It's something we have to think about. So Eliezer comes up with his own criteria. Source 5. He gets to Haran, he comes to the well. And he says like this. He really says, Hashem, do me a favor. I'm trying to do what my master wants. We'll see later on. So make something happen for me. He says, and it will be, this is the test he makes. It will be that the maiden to whom I will say, lower your pitcher and I will drink. And she will say, drink and I will also water your camels. Her have you designated for your servant for Yitzchak. And through her may I know that you have performed loving kindness with my master. Right. So he makes up this test. So the question is, why does he make up this test? How does he know that from this test she's the right girl? How do we know that she's the right girl with this test? So Rashi says, I didn't bring Rashi, I'm sorry. Rashi says, oh, this will be the proof that she's fit, that she is a person that does kindness, and she should enter into the house of Avram. Okay. So again, why is this the test? There's a lot of virtues. You're going to say, well, listen, being kind is a Jewish virtue. So she has a kind Jewish virtue, so that should do it. There's a lot of other kind Jewish virtues that people should have. This is one Jewish virtue. You know, there's a lot of people with virtues, but it's not necessarily the right shidduch for Yitzchak. Not every good Jewish woman is the shidduch for a nice Jewish boy. We would hope that all Jewish women do kindness, no matter who they marry. So how does he know that this is the test that means it's the one for Yitzchak? That's what we have to discuss. We've discussed it in the past. We've given answers in the past. But we want to discuss it again. There's always more things to learn. And then while we're on it, there's an interesting Gemara, Source 6, which is Sermon for Good Measure. The Gemara Taina says, if you want to find a good woman, if you want to know she's a good woman, so look what the Gemara says in Source 6. This can compare to a bride who lives in the house of her father. So long as her eyes are beautiful, her body needs no examination. Gemara says, if you have a woman who has really nice eyes, you don't have to check the rest of her out. She's probably good looking all over the place.
Ooh.
Now, there's two questions on that. Number one, that's not true. There's certain women with beautiful eyes, and the rest is not so amazing. And number two, since when is the Gemara giving us ideas how to find a pretty woman? What does pretty woman have to do with marrying a woman is not based on looks? So what's going on? So that's an interesting Gemara. So let's see what that really means. So let's see how to deal with this, and we'll see how Rav Friedman deals with all these issues. I'm really taking two mamorim and putting them together because they fit in really nicely together. So let's start with a famous Gemara in Sota that you've all heard of, and he brings us an incredible pshat. So let's start. This is a Gemara Sota. And the Gemara says when Reish Lakish would begin to teach, now Sota, remember, a Sota is a woman who has what? Defied her husband's orders. A husband said, I don't want you hanging around Chaim Yankel. And she goes in privacy with Chaim Yankel. There's witnesses that says she was in seclusion, but we don't know if anything happened. And then there's the whole issue of the woman drinking the Sota waters. Okay. So Reish Lakish, before he would teach on this subject, he would say the following general statement. He says, they only pair a woman with a man according to his deeds. In other words, when a shidduch is made, how is the shidduch determined? On how good the guy is. Also the woman, I'm sure, as well. But it's basically means his deeds. And he brings a pasuk to prove that. And the pasuk I'm not interested in right now, but he says, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. If you're a righteous person, you're not going to get stuck. In other words, you know, you're talking about a first shidduch, so we give a man according to what he is. If he's a tzaddik, we'll find he'll stumble upon a tzaddikus. If he's a rasha, he'll stumble upon a rashanta. The shidduch that you get is the one you deserve. That's what. Who says this? Reish Lakish. So therefore, that's why he would start the subject of Sota. Sota is a woman who gives the husband grief. So you should know that the fact that she's giving her husband grief, that means the guy got what he deserved. That's what he's saying. You know, if you were a real tzaddik, you wouldn't have a wife who's Sota. You know, don't come around saying, you know, my wife, she's terrible. She goes with this guy and says, you know what? You got what you deserved, Mac. You're not such a big tzaddik yourself. That's because people are always saying, you know, Well, what's going on? How could the woman have the chutzpah to do this? What kind of Jewish woman is this? She's exactly a Jewish woman based on a Jewish man. He isn't a guy sitting in yeshiva all day long and doing chesed and all these things. He's doing things that are not 100% kosher. So he gets such a wife. Okay, that's what he says. Continues. Rav Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan, it's as difficult to pair up a shidduch as was the division of the Sea of Reeds. The splitting of the Yamsuf. Kasha Sivugan Kekriyas Yamsuf. Right? It got the Hebrew below, if you like to read the Hebrew better, because it really sings so much better in Hebrew. Kashin Lizivugan Kekriyas Yamsuf. And he brings a pasuk to support that. And then the Gemara brings another statement and says, wait a minute, you're telling me a man gets what he deserves? That's not so. Behuda said in the name of Rav, 40 days before the creation of the child, a bas kol, that's a voice from heaven, issues forth and proclaims, the daughter of A is for B. That's the one that the Ebenezer was referring to. There's other things that's mentioned there. So it's a contradiction. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what kind of woman you get? The one you deserve. And the other rabbi says, what are you talking about? It was decided in heaven what you get. And in heaven, you haven't made any choices yet. So how does the Gemara resolve this? There's no contradiction. The latter dictum means it's decided in heaven. That's referring lezivug rishon, to the first zivug, which is translated right now as marriage. The one that says you get according to your deeds, that's the second marriage. Okay, so from here, people have all their Sheva Brachas Torah. Most Sheva Brachas, when people speak about a chasan kala, they usually quote this Gemara. There's many things to quote over here. it's as difficult as splitting the sea, A. B, it seems, first marriage is decided in heaven. So people like to call that your bashert. It's decided in heaven. God decided who's going to be. It has nothing to do with what kind of person you are. The second one, once you're on the second time around, then it depends what kind of person you are. And people suggest all kinds of Torah based on this. That the first shidduch you had was the luck of the draw or the unluck of the draw. That's what God set you up with. The second one, right, second time around, either you're divorced or widowed, whatever. And now, now it depends on what kind of person you are. So there's many, many questions on this Gemara. There's many questions. Number one, the Baal HaKeda asked this question. How could we think that the first shidduch doesn't have to do with you being a good person or not? How in the world do we say that the first shidduch has nothing to do with you? For example, David HaMelech said in Tehillim, you know, this a chassid has to always prepare for things as he needs them. And the Gemara says, and one of those things is a wife. You have to pray for a wife. Well, then if you got to pray for a wife, you know, that means it depends a lot on you, right? So what are you going to say? So it's only referring to a second shidduch? No, every shidduch. So since when does the first shidduch not depend on what kind of guy you are? Does that make even sense? A, and B, why should there be a difference in a first shidduch and a second shidduch? If I asked you, in God's almighty's ways, how does he want it, how does shidduch go? If I'd ask you, what kind of wife do you end up with? What kind of husband do you end up with? I say, is it luck of the draw? Or is it, it really depends on what kind of person you are. You say, it depends on what kind of person you are. Right? You're a good person, you deserve a good wife. If you're a bad person, you don't deserve a good wife. Why is there a distinction between a first marriage and a second marriage? And many people learn this Gemara very partially in this way. Yeah?
It doesn't always work that way. Like a first marriage, the woman or the man could be a wonderful person, and then the other spouse could be a horrible person. It doesn't always work that they deserve each other, because what if somebody's a good person and they have an awful shit? And it happens.
It does. We have to determine what a good person is. To determine what a good person is and how we define a good person. Okay, but let's just hold on to that thought. Okay, so that's an important question. And finally, why are we comparing marriage to the splitting of the sea? If anything, it's the opposite. What was the difficulty of the splitting of the sea? You have the sea, and it had to be split. You had to take something that was together and put it apart. What's the difficulty of making a shidduch? It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Taking things that are apart and putting them together. So why are you comparing it to the splitting of the sea? What was the main thing in splitting the sea? Splitting it. Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Zivug is not splitting, it's putting together. So find an example where God put something together that was hard to compare it to a shidduch. Now the Maral deals with this, and the Maral says, well, he means to say that it's just as it's wondrous that Hashem splits something in two, right? So too, it's a wondrous thing to take two things and put them into one. But it's still not, it's not explaining what the wonder is over here. So, let's begin to explain all these interesting things with another Gemara in Kiddushin, source number 8. We'll begin with this, and this will springboard us in a lot of areas. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, and this must be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So he says like this, why does the Torah, when it talks about marriage, it says, ki yikach ish isha, when a man takes a wife, that's the expression used, when a man takes a wife, why doesn't it say, ki tilokach isha leish, why doesn't it say, if a woman be taken to a man? So he says, so in other words, one seems to show that the man is taking the woman as opposed to the fact that the woman is taking the man.
Right.
So why? He says, because it's the way of a man to search of a woman, but it's not of the woman to go search for a man. That's what Gemara says. Why? This can be compared to a man who lost an article. Who looks for who? The man or the article? You lose your wallet. Who's supposed to look for who? The wallet supposed to look for the man, or the man supposed to look for the wallet? The loser goes in search of the lost article. So now Rashi fills in a little point. He says, so what's going on over here? So what did the man lose? He lost his rib.
That's right.
So since he lost his rib, he has to find his rib. So he has to find his wife. That's what the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Makes sense.
But there's a simple question that has to be asked. Wait a minute. That all makes sense for the first Shidduch with Adam and Chava, where his rib was taken out and he had to go find her. But what about all the other Shidduchim in the world? I don't remember my rib getting pulled out. And no man since the creation of the world has lost a rib. So why we still use this analogy? It only works for the first man. It doesn't work for everybody. So therefore, we have to come on to the words of the Arvei Nachal, one of the great Hasidic masters, in source number 9. He says, all souls that were destined to ever come into the world were all included in Adam HaRishon. And all the female souls were all there as well. They were all everything. The neshamas of the males and the females were all in Adam HaRishon. And when God took a rib out of Adam and gave it to Chava, that included all the souls of the females. And all the males remain without the rib. So on some level, now it's not necessarily a rib only. The more there discusses, not only a rib, it's like the other side. They're like, is it machlok? What tzela means? Does it mean a rib? Or remember, man and woman were created back to back, so the tzela was the side. But be that as it may, we are told that every man is missing a side. So it's his job to go look for it. And that's why he has to look for it. So that's point number one. The Zohar, we're going to quote two important Zohars, in 10 and 11, says some very important ideas over here. He says, when the souls are initially created, you have one soul, and it's a Zohar and a Nekeva aspect. A male and female aspect are together. Then Hashem, it's time for the babies to be born, he splits the two souls apart. This goes this place, this one goes to the other place. Now, let's pick up the Zohar now. We're now in the source 10. Then what happens? Hashem pairs them up afterwards. And nobody else has permission to pair them up but Hashem himself. Why? Because he knows who's supposed to go with who. In other words, he knows, he has the computer program, there's millions of souls up in heaven, and you know, this one, soul number, you know, 783, the girl went over here, the boy went over here, soul number 784, the girl went there, the boy went there. Hashem's got all the computers, so he knows who's got to go with who. He says, and you can't, so he says in Hebrew, you got things that, Ashrei oto ben Adam, fortune is this man, shezacha b'masav, who acts properly, he purifies his ways, and he goes in the way of truth, because we are combining a soul with a soul the way it was to begin with, and if he merits in his actions, he becomes a complete person. This is what the Zohar is saying. So the Zohar is saying like this. We start off in Shemayim, one whole soul that's got a male and female aspect. That's like Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon had everything. What did Hashem do to Adam HaRishon? He did what we call the Nesira. He split him up. The rib, whatever, the tzela, gets split apart. Now he has to meet him. Same thing in Shemayim. Hashem splits the soul. The Adam, he loses. He loses half of his soul. It goes somewhere to China. The girl gets born in China. The boy gets married in Argentina. Okay, now, this were the ones that are supposed to be together. This is the match. So somehow, Hashem's got to get them back together. And this isn't for people to do. Now, what does it mean? No one makes shidduchim? Of course, we have shadchanim. But they got to realize that all they are messengers of God. It's very important to remember, you're a messenger of God. You're trying to make sure you don't mess up what's going on, what's meant to be. But the Zohar adds a little bit more, you see. He says, fortunate is the man, the person, who acts virtuously and goes in the way of truth, because this is a soulful connection that's happening over here. And if he's lucky, he'll get what he's supposed to get. Not lucky, if he's worthy, he will get what he's supposed to get. The Zohar continues in source 11 to try to explain you know, what the difficulty is in making the shidduch like the Kriyas Yamsuf. Why is it so hard? And he says, you know why it's hard? Because it's very hard to make sure that the original pair that was in heaven ends up together. That's a very difficult thing. Doesn't always work up that way. And that's how the Zohar says. He says, afterwards, it's hard at their present level to connect properly as they were at the beginning. Because they're not connected only in the way of people. In other words, it's not just a question of boy A and boy B and just put them together. We got to match it up to what it was earlier. You think shidduch is easy? Well, he's a girl, he's a boy, let him make a shidduch. You know? She's religious, he's religious, let's make a shidduch. It's not just a question of finding a boy and a girl. We've got to find the right boy with the right girl. The ones that were matched before have to be put together. And this is a difficult thing over here. This is not an easy thing to put them back, the exact one together. It's not just any old nice boy with any old nice girl, any nice Beis Yaakov girl and any nice yeshiva boy can be matched together. Or any nice B'nai Akiva boy with a B'nai Akiva girl get matched together. That's not so simple. We've got to find the original match. Has to be matched down here. And that's not such a simple thing. Now the question is, why is it going to be difficult? You're going to see. Anyway, what do we see so far? What do we see so far? We're seeing that we understand that why the woman is considered the lost object, number one. She's the lost object because as the split happened, right, the man has to find her. Now, some ask, wait a minute, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe just like he went one way, she went one way. So maybe she could look for him just like he has to look for her. But he says, no, but the source came from one. It was one Adam HaRishon. From him, the woman split off. Same thing in Shemayim. There's one neshama. And as they split, the woman splits off. Okay, so therefore, for whatever reasons, don't get personal about this, but the original human is the Ikar, and the one that gets split off is the Tafel, as it were. But we don't mean to say she's supplementary.
We don't think this way.
But certainly the man is the one, but that is the man is the one to find the match. That's the man, you know, who has to go out of town. The boy's got to go out of town to find the girl. He has to find her. The boy has to pick up the girl, not that the girl picks him up. It's not just etiquette. It's chazal. The guy has to realize you've got to find what you're missing in life.
But in nature, it's not like that. It's exactly opposite.
Is it?
The woman, the one that looking.
I don't know. Maybe in the non-Jewish world.
In the animals.
But in the Jewish world, in the religious world, it's the boy is the one who's going out, picking up the girl, and taking her out.
Yeah, and all those mom of the girls.
They're just nervous. They're just nervous, right? But anyway, so that's what he's saying. Now, says the Shvilei Pinchas. He now takes all this and puts it together. Now, obviously, what's happening? This man wants to find his original mate. So now you need the Zohar says it. He said it already. You need a schus. You need a merit that you're able to find this person, and you've got to find, you've got to make efforts. Now, what are the real efforts? Is the effort, you know, just calling up the girl and going out with the girl? That's the very last efforts. There's many, many efforts that had to be before it. And what was that? You have to develop into the person that God wanted you to be. You had a pure and holy soul up in Shemayim, and Hashem sent you down. And you have to keep that pure and holy soul that he gave you. Whatever great talents and qualities your neshama had in Shemayim, when Hashem sends you down, he wants you to be that person. He wants you, mister, to be studying Torah, working on your Avodas Hashem, doing tshuva, being the best person you could be. And that's what the Zohar is saying. Then you'll merit to find the true shidduch as it was above. But if you don't have those merits, you're going to lose her. And she's going to go to somebody else. So this is where this becomes a hard business of shidduchim. If the boy is not, you know, the boy has a good soul and now he just goes off the derech, how are we going to make a shidduch? So it becomes hard for Hashem, as it were. He's got to be matched up exactly with the girl that he had beforehand. And how's that going to happen? He's not that guy. So sometimes Hashem will take him on an interesting journey of being chozer b'tshuva. Sometimes both the boy and the girl were, you know, and Shemayim, they're set up really nicely. And somehow the family that the boy is born into is not religious. And the family the girl is raised is not religious. How are they ever going to be together? So Hashem makes kasha zivugam. You know, we were just celebrating a wedding in the shul a couple days ago. That was kasha zivugam. There was like 8 rabbis at that wedding. You know what? Because so many rabbis were involved in helping the boy become frum. So many rabbis were involved in helping the girl become frum. It wasn't just they got together. There's a whole years of time and history and pain and suffering and this and that till the two of them made it there.
Very true.
It wasn't just you put them two together, like you go to a bar and you pick up a girl and then we have a shidduch. You know, they were both very far away from what they originally were.
Wow.
So kasha zivugam, they had to go. This rabbi had to get him a little interested. And it's, you know, I don't want to go into all the details, but these can be extremely complicated things. You know, you could talk about like really secular people. How is this boy going to merit to have a wonderful girl? He's not even interested in a wonderful religious girl. So kasha zivugam, it's a very difficult thing. And part of the difficulty is the man himself has to try his best to be the best person he can be.
Excuse me,
so, yes, ma'am.
Is this like having like someone who's assigned to you? Is that also for non-Jews too?
We're not dealing with non-Jews. They don't. We're not interested in that.
No.
The Hashem is not... doesn't deal with them.
So well, such a
they can just go on their own. They don't got these kinds of souls. They don't got these kinds of souls. God just said.
Adam HaRishon, which is the source of all human beings.
No, it's the source. I wouldn't say that. Noach is the source of all human beings.
Oh.
And then from that came the Jewish human beings, and then came the non-Jewish human beings. They don't. Non-Jews and Jews are two different entities, not to be compared one to another. So therefore, he says, the Shvilei Pinchas continues. So now you begin to understand what the connection is to Kriyas Yamsuf. The connection, 1 second, let me just make sure we got everything here. Yeah, so let's look in the Shvilei Pinchas in source 12. So this is what really happens, that the man has to look for his wife. Therefore, the man must make efforts to look for his lost object through engaging himself in Torah study and good deeds. For only then does he merit to find his true match as it was above in the world of souls. But he does not have the merits. He loses his object as she is given to another. He loses it. And now, and we'll see what happens a little further in a moment. Now, so now we can explain how this is connected, how this is as difficult as the Kriyas Yamsuf and what the connection is. Now the Shvilei Pinchas says, now it's beautiful. He says, let's look at what the splitting of the sea was. You had the sea, it was all connected, one nice, beautiful sea. What happened? All of a sudden, God had to rip apart the sea so that the Jews could go through. Okay, something good had to happen. But what happened afterwards?
It came back.
What happened afterwards? The waters came back, and you can't even see where they weren't together. It was seamless. You can't say, I can still see a crack between where they were separated. Imagine if you have a dish, you break a dish in half, you put it back, you could still see where the crack was, no matter how good. You say, oh, that's where it was split. With the waters, no, it was like, it came exactly back to where it was supposed to be. So this is exactly what happens with every shidduch. The boy and the girl up in heaven, the female and male parts of the soul, it's a perfect match, a perfect match. Now what happens? Hashem ripped them apart. But then for reasons that are necessary to develop themselves, just like the Jews, the Sea of Reeds had to be split so the Jews would be able to show their faith in Hashem and go through. So the two souls are split apart. And just like the Sea of Reeds came back together seamlessly, it's hard to bring the boy and back together seamlessly, that the exact waters came back to match with the waters. The exact male component has to go back to the exact female component. That is a very difficult thing. As just as the splitting the sea required the waters to come back seamlessly, so to a shidduch requires the boy and girl to come back seamlessly to what they were before. And that is an extremely difficult thing to make sure that only happens if they are worthy of each other. And quite often they're not. And that makes things difficult. Difficult either for it to happen, or difficult that it just doesn't happen. So now what's going on over here? This is what the Ibn Ezra meant to say. Zehu Sod. This is the secret. We go back to what we started. He says, I'm making an oath, Eliezer, by the God of heaven and the God of earth. More than just what the Gemara is saying. Yes, Eliezer, Hashem has already decided the shidduch above. Yitzchak's bashert is decided. But now it's very important that you got to make sure that the Yam Suf comes back together perfectly. You must find the exact right girl. Because if you don't, then you've messed up the original shidduch. And that needs integrity and honesty on your part. And that's the sod. This is the secret part. It's not just that it was decided who it is and we have it. But you've got to make a perfect match. That's the sod of what the Zohar is saying, that the souls below have to match what the match was above. And that already is kosher. That's hard. Now with this, now you're going to love this next shot. Next comes the beer. One second. Oh, wait a minute. So now, based on the Zohar, we'd have a question. Wait a minute. So it comes out, what did the Gemara say? The first shidduch is based on what Hashem decides. The second one is based on what kind of person you are. The way we've explained it, it seems like the first shidduch is based on the kind of person you are, right? Doesn't that seem to... Everything we said, the Zohar, seems to conflict with the Gemara. The Gemara says, the first shidduch Hashem decides. The second one is the kind of person you are. Based on the Zohar, no, it's the first shidduch also depends on how you are. So how does that sit with the Gemara? So he answers based on the Sefer Be'er Sheva and Sultan, it's all based on the Zohar. It all makes sense now. He says, let's define what it is. Let's see what the Be'er Sheva says. He says, before source 13, before the conception of the giant, the match is announced as it relates to his soul. And he says, that is the Zivug Rishon. Zivug means, what's the word Zivug really mean? Not marriage. Pairing up of two.
Zug.
So when did the Zivug Rishon happen? When Hashem paired them up in Shemayim. Wasn't that the Zivug Rishon? The first pairing was in Shemayim. Now in Shemayim, did it matter if they were good or bad? They didn't exist yet. So the Zivug Rishon is the baskol that says this is the perfect shit, the way Hashem has decided. This is the way it should be. Zivug Rishon is up there. Okay. After now, they get split. He comes into the world. And the time has come to him to marry. Hold on. Now Hashem says, well, let's see what kind of boy you've been. He's judged according to his actions. If he's meritorious, he takes her. If he's not meritorious, she's given to another that's better than him. Zivug Sheni, therefore, is the second pairing of just correlating and finishing up the first pairing. That's what the Gemara is saying. Let me say this again. It's not two separate marriages. People think it's two separate marriages. It's not two separate marriages. It doesn't make sense. It's two separate marriages. Zivug Rishon means the spiritual connection that was made in heaven before they came down to earth. That's Zivug Rishon. And that's the Baskol. The Baskol says that so and so and so and so are meant to be married, and they're ready in Shemayim are put together. Because that's already showing you that's the way it's supposed to be. Now when they come down, now they've been separated. So now we got to pair them up again. The same ones again. Zehu Zivug Sheni. That's the second pairing of the original pair. So how does the second pairing happen? That depends on the actions of the guy. if he develops the way he's supposed to, the way the picture above was, then below, Hashem will work it out. That you'll have your Zivug Sheni will be what your Zivug Rishon was telling you destined all along. Incredible pshat. Do you hear what's going on? It's not talking about a first marriage and a second marriage. It's not talking about second marriage at all. You want to know about second marriage? You got to look somewhere else. You got to look somewhere else about second marriage. Where's it in first marriage? First marriage, you're marrying off children. So you say, well, the Zivug Rishon was in Shemayim where they were paired up. Now they split. Now you have to be, you have a life you're living, and it's hard now to get them back together because he's got to be worthy. How do you become worthy? You got to do what you have to do. Based on your actions, the Zivug Rishon will be, you'll be fortunate that when they get repaired, that you're getting the one that you're supposed to have above, and that depends on the actions that you do. So everybody talks at first weddings, oh, it's all Bashar, Hashem decided, really had nothing to what kind of person you are. Nechta katog, it's not at all. First weddings depend on what kind of person you are. And then if you're lucky, if you merited and you were the right person, then Hashem finds you that right person that you deserve. And then you have a happy, you have who you have, and you have the marriage that you're meant to have. If you don't develop the way you're supposed to, then another guy who may have not been in the car, this can be very complicated, and you shouldn't think too much about this, could be, you know, Shidduch A, two superstar spiritual people, Shidduch B, two mediocre ones. Okay, so God had destined that these two superstars, when they separate, should all develop into superstars, and they connect each other. And these two regular ones, they should just develop to be regular. That's all. God needs all kinds of Jews. He needs all kinds. There's nothing against. That's the way. If you want, why did he get a better soul? That's God's business, not mine. What if in here the two superstars, the man decides to take the easy way out and be a mediocre guy, while the other girl's still a superstar? It's going to take a little longer for the shidduch to happen because this one is not going to be for her. Meanwhile, let's look at this other shidduch over here, the two mediocre guys. This guy was destined to be mediocre. He decided to be better than mediocre. He decided to be a superstar. Then, now this is where the problem's going to happen. Hashem's got to take her and shift her over there. And she's going to go to a guy who's better than that guy. Now, ultimately, that somehow, that means there's going to be all kinds of changes down the line, because that's what Hashem originally intended. He intended these two to stay with these two, and these two not. It's not our business to think about it. But the question is, so Rabbi, what do you do to make sure your children get the right shidduch? Just make sure that your child develops to his full potential, and then Hashem will take care of the rest. If the boy is a Yerush Shemayim and he learns Torah and he does this and this, that, he's a good, honest boy and he follows, he's an Eved Hashem, then you know what? Hashem will take care of the rest. If not, then it becomes a difficult task. So this is really Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheini. This is the real pshat. So even in the beginning, you have to deserve what you have. And that's what the Alshech says it straight out. The Alshech on Tehillim saying the same thing. He says, if this man is a sinner to Hashem, the one, if he's a sinner, but the other one, the girl, she did not sin, then she's taken away from him and given to someone who's better than him. And what about the sinner? We're talking about a sinner now. And the sinner is given a wife which he will be disgusted with. He's going to get a wife who's going to make his life miserable. And he says, and he has given someone else to cleanse his sins. She becomes his kapara. So in other words, Hashem in the Zivug Rishon said, listen, you really have a beautiful soul. You should be with this girl. Now when you come down, if you stay a good boy, you're a good girl, you're going to be together, it's going to be amazing. And there'll be great growth and you'll do amazing. This guy comes down, he becomes a gigolo. He decides to do whatever he wants to do. And he wouldn't even think of taking this Beis Yaakov girl. He's a guy who's losing the fast lane. So he says, okay, we'll find you somebody else, somebody who's going to make you miserable and make your life miserable, and you're going to get all kinds of kapara for this. Now, I don't want to pontificate and make people feel upset and angry, but I'm generalizing and I'm not being specific and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about in general. But in general, there's more divorce in the world. In general. And unfortunately, even in the frum world, it's much more than ever was.
It's true.
Why is that? Because people are not trying to become the best people they could be when they're young.
Reach our potential.
When they're young. So therefore, you end up with the ones that really shouldn't be the ones you get. And now you got all kinds of problems. Now you understand, back to Gemara and Sota, Reish Lakish, before he started teaching anything about the Sota, he says, well, we pair a man up according to his deeds. Now we're understanding, what does it mean? It means the first Shidduch. Right? If the problem with this Gemara, Reish Lakish starts with a Sota woman, and deeds is the second Shidduch, what does that have to do with Sota? We're talking about second marriages with Sota? Sota is usually first marriage. But now with the Tzar, it's beautiful. We're talking about a first marriage. And the whole story of the Sota, what happens? A man gets according to his deeds. First marriage. If he's a good guy, he behaves properly, he gets a good wife. And that's the end. But he gets according to his deeds, even the first guy. And what if not? That's what the Tzar says. If not, you don't get the one you're really supposed to get. What you get one who's going to give you aggravation. If you're a sinner, you get aggravation. If a man has a wife as a Sota, believe me, he had it coming to him because he didn't really get the one he was supposed to get. He got the one that he wasn't supposed to get because he chose to live a certain lifestyle and therefore he's getting the one that he deserves. And therefore he ends up getting the Sota, who's only a life of aggravation for her. You follow what's going on over here. So that now that's all fits in why he starts the whole story with the Sota. Because, you know, and therefore, if you want to avoid having a Sota, where does it start? It starts when you're raising your little boy, to raise him up to be a little tzaddik, for him to develop his potential. Then he's never going to have a wife who's going to be a Sota to create these kinds of problems for him.
Wasn't Reish Lakish?
Now, Reish Lakish, interestingly enough, let's talk about Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was a gangster.
Mafia.
He was a gangster. However, because of Rabbi Yochanan, it's interesting, it's Rabbi Yochanan over here. See, we start for Rabbi Shlokish. Rabbi Yochanan, his brother-in-law in this Gemara says it's difficult to make a shidduch like the Seer reads. It's his brother-in-law. Why? Because we know the famous story. Now it all makes sense. Reish Lakish was a robber. He was a gangster. And he would do everything, man. So one day, Rabbi Yochanan, who happened to be a very handsome man, he's bathing where? In the river, in the Yam. Interesting. And Reish Lakish thinks he's a woman. So he figures, chaperein, defenseless woman. He gives a jump from this bank, and boom, is right next to this beautiful woman. But then he takes a look and says, whoa, your beauty is for a woman, not for a man. What a surprise. What a wasted jump, right? He says, you think I'm good looking? Look at my sister's even better looking. If you do tshuva, I'll give you my sister. So he did tshuva, and he got the sister.
That's perfect.
Exactly. So now, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish says, well, before we're going to talk about a Sota wife, let me tell you the first thing. A man and a woman are paired according to their deeds. So guess what? He was a shmo, but he did tshuva. Rabbi Yochanan asks, and it's as hard as splitting the sea, I'll tell you. Because look what sea we had to split to put these two together. You didn't get the time to be makar of him, to make him worthy for her? So that's where the sea gets split. So you understand why it's these people are telling us these stories. It fits in perfectly. Okay, now let's take this a step further now. Okay, so it's very good. Now we understand Peshat, everything. It's all makes sense now. The first Shidduch and all this. Very good.
Rabbi, you started with the eyes. And the eyes are beautiful.
Oh, I didn't get to the eyes yet. I still have to get to the eyes. I didn't get to that yet. We're not finished.
We'll
go to now an interesting custom. And I was very particular about this. Source 15. There are masses like this. There are those who say that a chuppah should be done outside under the heavens, for a good sign that the children shall be like the stars in the heavens. Ashkenazic Jewry, their custom was from the days of Ramah, is a shidduch is outdoors. So in the yeshiva, whenever one of the Rosh Yeshivas married off a daughter, and they didn't have a lot of money, the shidduch, the chasna was at the yeshiva. Right in front of the dormitory in the roadway, That's what the chasen was, and they'd make the dinner in the gym, the gym. And I remember in a freezing winter, if they got married in December, you put a coat on and we're outside. That's the way. That's for Ashkenazim. Sfardim not. Sfardim not. Ashkenazim yes. Okay. When my son Mordechai got married in Montreal, it's already, I don't know, I think 5 years ago, whatever. It was in March. We figured it wouldn't be such bad weather. It was freezing cold. It was like so cold. It was unbelievable. I had my winter coat, my gloves.
It was done on purpose.
And it was outdoors. Outdoors. Why? So they say, for Siman Tov, that the children should be like the stars of the heavens. Now, and the commentaries say, and so that's what we do. We always do this to have it under the heavens. And then the Chassam Sofer was asked, that remember, the Chassam Sofer is fighting against the reformers in Hungary and all around. And where were non-Jews married, by the way? Where were, when the 1600s, 1700s, where did non-Jews get married? They didn't have catering facilities then. Where did they get married? In a church. You think a goy would get married outside? Are you crazy? It's a nice, beautiful church. They got married in a church. So then Yidden decided they want to get married in a shul. The Chassam Sofer spoke vociferously against this. He said, Mele, if you're a Sfardi, okay, Sfardim never accepted this custom from the times of Yosef Karo, indoors, fine. But Ashkenazim have to follow the Ramah. The Ramah is the posek for the Ashkenazim. And certainly it's a Siman Tov, if you take a look in Source 16. What did Hashem do with Avram? Avram didn't have any children. So what does it say? Hashem took him outside and says, please look heavenlyward and count the stars. If you're able to count them, so will be your children. So just like Avram when was outside and looked at the stars, and the stars there, that's how your children will be. Every Jewish wedding, you want to have children. You're not getting married just to have fun and games. You're married to build a family. And building a family is the two of you together and having children. It should be like the stars. You go under the heavens to be like the stars. So the Chassam Sofer concludes, and he says, that's why all Jews follow the Ramah, to continue the blessing of Avram. He says, and those who don't want the blessings of Avram and have distanced themselves, they try to learn from the non-Jews, who don't want to be blessed by the stars, and therefore they got married in their churches, so you Jews want to get married in a shul. He says, but on the other, if you want to get the blessings, you're going to get married in a shul. That's why, really, the Hasidim are very strong in this, that you get married outside. So now, what has modern technology provided for us? That some places, like in the Bayit, if you get married in the entranceway, there's a roof that opens just the size of the chuppah, and then you're outside. That's fine, because you're outside. Now, obviously, so with one of my children that got married, the mechutanim wanted the marriage to be in the shul, because all their friends in the shul. And I said, no, you do it outside under the heavens. I got married with the open thing, and going to get married outside, and already a couple kids were married out, you know, or in the bayit, in the hallway, under the open canopy.
We know that.
And they were not happy with that. So then I went, at that time, Retz's name, Rabbi Tauber was here. Remember, he used to come and give, Rabbi Tauber from Israel.
Okay.
He would give speeches. So I called him up. I said, how strong should I be? Maybe I should give in. Sometimes you have to give in to the other side. He says, absolutely not. Do not give in to this. Wow. This is very important for the Siman. It's very important for children, all these things. You do it outside, don't give in. I didn't give in, and they were not happy about it. And because there was a lot of guests, it was like 400 or 500 people. The shul can hold 500, 600, 700, 800 people comfortably. The hallway was very crowded. But that's the way it is. To show this sign. Okay, now, it's interesting. There's an interesting story with the Stechemed. The Stechemed, great Sephardic posek, Cheskel Medini. He writes of, he says, certainly as Sephardim, we don't have the custom like
the
Ramah.
Yeshivas,
Yeah, but that's, I don't think
brother
it's...
Brother is Winder.
But anyway, but this, so that's his name. That's what, the name of his book. He says, but the minig of the Ashkenazim is to follow the Ramah, to make a chuppah under the heavens. And he says, it's not proper to change this minig. And it happened at a time where the Stei Chemed was amongst Ashkenazi, even though he was a Sephardi, and he was very particular that if you're an Ashkenazi, you have to follow the Chassam Sofer's ruling, and you got to get married under the stars. So here was the story. So now he mentions in his tshuvas, he says, I was once in a city where they were making a chuppah, and the two mechutanim were wealthy people and really, you know, esteemed people, full of themselves. They came from another city to make the wedding for their children here. And they asked the Stei Chemed to honor them to be the Masader Kedushin, to arrange it. He's one of the big Gedolim. And it was a snowy, cold day, the wedding day. So the Chazan came over to the Stei Chemed and he whispered in his ears. He said, the Mechutanim, the father of the bride and the father of the groom, they're kind of delicate people. It's very hard for them to stand outside in the cold. And they want the chuppah to be indoors. And he says, these are very powerful people, and they won't listen to me. They won't listen to you, Rabbi, if you insist to be outside. They're going to do it inside. They're you know, powerful guys. They're not going to listen. So, Rabbi, maybe it's a good idea for Shalom. Let's just make the wedding indoors. So the Stei Chemed said, he says, I tell you again, the Chassam Sofer already has dealt with the issue. And the Chassam Sofer says, we have to follow your Ashkenazi family. He's a Sephardi rabbi. It's okay. Sephardi rabbi does inside. I remember, it's very important. If you're a rabbi of one persuasion, you still have to make sure the other side does the way they're supposed to do it. Don't say, oh, okay, we'll do it Sephardi style. You can't. He's not a Sephardi. He's an Ashkenazi. So the Stei Chemed was a true tzaddik, even though he's a Sephardi. He said, but you're Ashkenazi. You have to do like an Ashkenazi. So you have to do this. And these rich people, they happen to be part of the Jewish people who are Ashkenazim. And therefore, they went on their horse and buggies for miles and miles, and they weren't heated in those days. They're prepared to travel very far to a very fancy place, even though it was cold and freezing, didn't seem to bother them at all. And he says that if I can't force them to do it, they can't force me to be the Masader Kedushin either, and I can go home and not do anything and not get paid either. I have no problems. And it's better to do it outside. It doesn't say what happened at the end of the story, if they gave in or not. But he refused to do it. So you see, it's a big inyan to do this, at least in the Hasidic world. You're going to ask a rabbi, how come you're seeing all these weddings done in the bayit? Go ask the rabbis who perform the ceremonies there. You know, it's like, it's not a lecha. And again, if you're a Sephardi, you don't have to worry about it. Sephardis?
Why? But Abraham Avinu was Sephardi.
I don't think so.
Yes, he was from Syria.
That doesn't mean he was. He was before there was Ashkenaz and Sfard. Mm-hmm. He was before Ashkenaz and Sfard. That's all was later. It was after the Churban Bayis. After the Churban Bayis. But anyway, so it's not an issue. And you'll see, generally speaking, you know, the Haredi world will make sure at least you go to a party hall that has the roof that opens up, or even a place that opens up. And that's an important thing. So now, says Rav Friedman, he says, we can take it now one step further. Another reason why we would do it under the stars, not just because of the blessings of Avraham, but he says the same thing. What are we trying to say when the wedding is under the stars? To say that this shidduch that we're having down on earth was already decided up in heaven. And, you know, we said this a few weeks ago. The pasuk, Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sogel Haaretz. The heavens rejoice and the earth is happy. The Rosh Tevis of those four words, Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sogel Haaretz, is Yud Hey Vav Hey. It is to synthesize the higher world with the lower world. Right? That's the whole idea of this world, Hashem's Rosh. So when do you think you really are synthesizing the higher world and the lower world more than at a wedding? Because in the higher world, the shidduch was ready made. But now we're hoping that the Chas and Gal are deserving, that we're now synthesizing the lower world with the higher world. So how are we going to have a for the Ashkenazim at least, how are you going to have a wedding in a building where you're separating the higher world and lower world? So the whole idea is that you should be aware that there you're a chuppah tachat hashamayim to show that there is the heavens have been now happy with what's going down below. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Now, this will explain one other thing. When we do the benching at a wedding, when you do the zimun, so normally it's Rabbi Sayin of Arech, Baruch Shechalu Mishalom, but what do we add at a wedding? We add two words. Baruch, what? Shehasimcha bimono v'shachalnu mishalom. What are the words shehasimcha bimono? Look at source 17 where the Gemara tells us this. He says, simcha bimono means in whose dwelling there is joy. Whose dwelling are we talking about?
The world of Hashem.
No, Hashem's dwelling.
Yeah.
Baruch shachalnu, baruch shehasimcha bimono, that in Hashem's dwelling there's happiness. V'shachalnu mishalom, and we have eaten from him. Why is in Hashem's dwelling his happiness? Because in his dwelling he made the shidduch, this boy and this girl. And now if the boy behaves properly and the girl behaves properly, we're now able to connect the two together. And now the joy is above. And if the joy is above, and then all the blessings will come down for us to have joy below as well. So that's an amazing, amazing insight as to what's going on. A shidduch is not just Tom putting two people together. And we think, well, it's decided in heaven. It's not a lot for us to do. Just you know, boy A and boy B. It doesn't really matter who you are because the first one's already been decided. It's been decided, but are you going to make sure that what decided happens? So that doesn't happen by worrying. It happens by making sure that your son is the best son he could be. And your daughter is the best daughter it could be. And then leave the worrying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let him, he'll find a way to put the two of them together. And that's how they're going to get together. And if not, then, you know, if you teach them to be superficial people, even though they're religious, it's not unusual. You're seeing lots of young families now. You didn't hear this 40, 50 years ago. Lots of young families from family getting divorced. Why? Because they're not following the procedure over here. That they're not doing the things they should be doing. Okay, this was part A. I still got a couple more minutes, but I don't see if I can get to
but
part
doesn't
B.
Doesn't it say of Simcha b'Mevuno that in every wedding, Hashem is coming down to that world, to the wedding himself?
Well, and obviously Hashem is everywhere, when is there Simcha? The Simcha is when it's the right shidduch.
Right.
If it's not the right shidduch, you could tell it's not. If let's say a nice Jewish boy, a nice Jewish girl, they're not religious, right? So they're usually not benching either at the end of these weddings.
That's right.
So you don't have to worry. So they don't say shasimcha bimono.
That's right.
So I'm just saying, we hope that everything went properly, and it's shasimcha bimono. But there could very well be weddings where it's not shasimcha bimono. Hashem says, this is really not good at all. This guy messed up his life. He's getting a terrible woman. She's going to make his life miserable. His life's going to be a kapara. And you have stories like that, where the woman now has to make a tikkun on the guy. So now what's the point? The point is, if you want to make sure that your marriage will be a proper marriage, you got to make sure you're deserving of getting the shidduch that's already been destined for you. Okay, now we still want to go back to Eliezer and finish up that. Got to finish that. So another 10 minutes, I hope. So let's go back to source. Let's go to source 18, the famous Gemara. Hashem said about Adam Arishon, it's not good for man to be alone. Let me make him an Ezer Kenegdo, a helpmate opposite him. So we already explained in the past that, I gave a whole long class on this, that Hashem, when he makes a shidduch, he'll make the man and woman have opposite qualities. They can both be righteous, but opposite qualities. So that they blend. The two primary qualities are chesed and gvura, kindness and control. So what does Hashem do? He makes sure that between the husband and the wife, one is chesed and one is gvura, so they can help balance each other out. Because if they're both chesed, then they're not going to grow. And if they're both gvura, they're not going to grow. And that's a whole discussion we gave in a different class. But what he is looking for over here, now let's find a simple answer is Yitzchak was gvura. Yitzchak represents gvura, control. So Avram knew his son. So he says, now for me to find the right wife for him, we have to find a woman who is filled with chesed. And therefore, he makes the test that she will do chesed. By doing chesed, then you know that's a good match. Yitzchak's very powerful in gvura. He needs a wife who's an ezer kenegdo, will help him by being the opposite. When you've got someone who's very much chesed, too much chesed isn't good, too much kvur isn't good. The two of them get married, they got to learn to compromise. They could both be good, but you got to be good people to learn how to compromise. If you're an arrogant person, you're never going to compromise. You're going to fight and get divorced. But if you're a good person, okay, you've been willing to hear the other side. I'm really not happy with it, but, you know, we're going to have to compromise. And that's why we have to find this. But Friedman brings another shot in this idea of Ezer Kenegdo, which is really beautiful. So then the question is, so what did Eliezer have to do? So you have to know she's kind. So let's do simple. Just say, if I ask her for a drink, she'll give me a drink. Isn't that kindness? Why does he have to say she'll give to the camels? What's wrong if she just says, remember, Eliezer's a big guy. He's a big guy. He must have been like 6'5", a big, strong guy. Man, she goes to a little girl, Rivka, says, I'm thirsty. Can you give me a drink? She could say, you're a big guy. Go take a drink for yourself. Here's the bucket. You know, you think it's, you know, go try. Go take a bucket, schlep it all the way down to a well. Do it once. With a full pug wire, now turn that crank and bring it all the way up. And you'll see how your shoulders are going to feel. We just turned the tap. And it's a big, strong guy. He comes, you know, I'm thirsty. Okay, here's a bucket. Go take a drink. No, she goes and pulls the thing down and gives him a drink. Isn't that kindness? So why did he say she has to give also to the camels? So super kindness? So they bring down from the Sfarim, there's a big difference between two attributes. One is called chesed, and one is called rachamim. One is called mercy, kindness, and one is called mercy. What's the difference between mercy and kindness? They're two different midos. They're two different midos. Mercy is somebody knocks on your door, they look like they haven't eaten in days. The person's ready to collapse.
It's easier.
So you feel bad for the guy, so you give him. You know why? Because, you know, you're about to eat supper. I can't eat supper knowing this guy is not well. So that's mercy. Mercy is always a reaction to a stimulus that arouses my mercy. And if there isn't anything to be merciful for, I just eat supper, everything's fine. Chesed is like Avram. Avram is circumcised, and he's sitting in his tent, and it's the hottest day of the year. And Hashem made it hot so no guests would come. So if you're a person with rachamim, you say, well, then nobody has any needs. I could take it easy. Avram, he's genuinely upset. Chesed means I don't wait for an external stimulus to give something to somebody. I myself want to give.
Searching for it.
A person that does chesed, he's looking for chesed opportunities. And if there isn't, he's miserable. Because that's what a real Baal Chesed is. A person striking, where can I find an opportunity for this? He sends Eliezer out, go try to find somebody. I can't find anybody. He says, you can't trust servants. Avram goes to look. And Hashem says, he really wants us so bad, I got to make a miracle. They're going to be angels that are going to come down. He's going to get it. Chesed is not, oh, I feel sorry for the guy I give him. Chesed is, I look for opportunities that aren't there. So this is what Eliezer said. I understand that this Yitzchak, he's a big gvura man. We need a really big chesed woman. So he says like this. Okay, I'm going to ask her for a drink. Okay, I'm going to just ask her for a drink. She gives me the drink. That only proves that she has rachamim, rachmanut.
Right.
Now, if on her own, I'm not saying anything. All I said, I asked her for a drink. I didn't ask her to give my camels. On my own, I said, I need a drink. She gives me the drink. And then she says, you know what? I'm going to give all your camels. Now, you talked about a camel could drink like 7-8 buckets of water, and he's got 10 camels. You know how many buckets she's got to fill? Like 80 times to pick that up. If she does that, then I know she's a Baal Es Chesed. That's what Rashi's saying. Then it's a proof. It's a proof to that. But let's take it one step further. And this is really beautiful. Let's take it one step further. Oh, ladies, you're going to love this. Maybe yes, maybe not. Ezer Kenegdo. Now, it's interesting. Why they use the word Ezer? There's other words that can be used. For example, look in Source 19. David HaMelech says, Chusha le'ezrati Adonai tshuati. What does that mean? Hasten to my aid, O Lord, my salvation. We have two words. We have a word Ozer and a Moshiach. Why didn't God say, let me create a Moshiach Kenegdo? A savior. Why an Ezer? In other words, what's the fundamental difference in the Jewish terminology between Ezra and Yeshua? And by the way, I don't have time to get into this. You can understand now rabbis whose name is Rabbi Eliezer comes from the word Ezer, and Rabbi Yehoshua comes from Yeshua. I don't have time to get into this. There's lots of Torah from those people. But anyway, so in this pasuk, the difference is Ezer means is the person helps without being asked. Comes forward on his own. Okay? If somebody needs help, I just offer to help. Nobody asked me. That's an Ezer. Teshua is when someone's crying out for help. I give him salvation. Right? So if somebody cried out, it says when a woman is raped in the Torah, it says, Tzakanara, she screamed out, Ve'en Moshiach, and there was nobody to save her. So you see, Teshua, Moshiach is when someone calls out, I'm in trouble. Okay, I'll be your savior. Ezer doesn't wait to be called. It's almost the same difference between Chesed and Rachamim. The one who, the Baal Rachamim will be a Moshiach. The Baal Chesed will be an Ezer. And that's what David HaMelech is saying in the pasuk. Who shall Ezra see? Quickly come to my help. That's quickly. Right? You could be, you can help me right away. And then Hashem Teshua Si. So you could have two different ways it could come. Chusha is right away. Right away, then it's Ezra Si before I call. But Hashem Teshua Si, if I have to pray already and finish praying, then you're going to come after it. So now we see a very, very beautiful idea. What did Hashem say? I'm making a man now. Let me create an Ezer Kenegdo. What does that mean? What does the wife have to be? Does the husband have to come to the wife and say, I am in so much trouble, help me? What's an Ezer? Someone who helps without being called.
Right.
Without being called. Look in source 21. So this becomes the role of the man. And this is also, okay, the role of the man is to sit in the study hall learning and serving Hashem. That's his job. Even if he needs to go out and make a living to support his family, he's still obliged to set aside time for Torah day and night. That's his job. Therefore, the wife needs to be an Ezer Kenegdo. What's an Ezer? To assist the husband and to prepare all his needs, without, even what he does not ask for.
Without asking. Yeah.
In order, it's a typo, in order for him to sit and learn and serve Hashem without any disturbances. That's an Ezer Kenegdo. The wife don't wait for the husband. Like, dear, can you do this? She knows what the husband needs. The house has to be taken care of. He has to go out and sit and learn. Now, what this explains, a famous statement in Tanan de Velio, the Medrash, says there's no woman who's kshera, not a kosher woman, unless she does ritzon bala. And she does the will of her husband. Now, it's interesting. What does that mean? A kosher wife does the will of her husband. Why does it just say a kosher wife does what her husband tells her? The answer is no, that's not a kosher wife. If the wife waits for the husband to tell her, it's too late. And Ishak Sheira, she already knows what he wants, even before he asks. And Ezer Kenegdo knows what he needs and doesn't wait to be asked. So very good. So that's what the Gemara, now you understand very good what's going on with Rivka. He wants to know, is this woman going to be an Ezer Kenegdo or a Moshiach? So what does he do? All he says is, I need a drink. That's all. Now, let's see if she's smart enough to figure out what I really need. Come on, I came with 10 camels. I didn't say anything. I didn't ask for anything. But what do you think my ratzon is? I need my camels, but I didn't ask. Will she be clever enough to know, why wait to be asked? Obviously, if he needs a drink, I could put two and two together, and I obviously know his camel, even though he didn't ask. But I know that's what he wants. Maybe he didn't want to ask. He didn't want to impose on me. I understand. He doesn't want to take advantage of a young girl to make her work so hard. But I love to do chesed. And I know what his ratzon is. So that's obviously what he needs. So I'm going to do without being asked. And he says, now what? This is the Ezer Kenegdo that Yitzchak needs. Yitzchak has to sit and learn Torah his whole life. He can't play around with mishigasim of raising a family and taking care of sheep and this. He's going to be one of the pillars. I need a wife who's an Azer, who knows exactly what he needs and not to ask any questions. Now, what quality do you need for this? Look quickly, just very fast. Gemara says, famous Gemara, 24. And when a husband and wife are worthy, the Shekhinah abides by them. When they're not worthy, fire consumes them. Right?
Yes.
And what does that mean? Because you have the yud, the ish is spelled aleph yud shin, isha aleph shin hey. They both have ish, fire, but the man has a yud, the woman has a hey. Famous Gemara. Okay, well, let's explain a little better. The Gemara says, interesting, Gemara Nida, that a girl, when is she obliged in doing mitzvahs? At what age?
12.
A boy?
13.
Why? Gemara says, because she has bina yaseira. She has more bina than a man. How do we know that? It says when Hashem took the rib out of Adam, it says, Vayiven, Vayiven, he built her. That's source number 25. It's written, and the Lord God built the rib, which teaches the Holy One, bless, he endowed the woman with more understanding. Vayiven and bina is the same words. He gave her bina yaseira. So hold on. That's why she has to do mitzvahs earlier. In 25, it says the Holy Blessed endowed, and the Lord God built the rib. Vayiven. Vayiven is the same word as bina.
Okay.
So he built her up. So it's bina yaseira. That's why she has to do mitzvahs earlier. But now there's a problem. You know what the problem is? Gemara in 26 says, who has the mitzvah of learning Torah? Who has to learn Torah all day long? A man, not a woman. Question, I don't understand. If the woman has bina yaseira, why doesn't she have to do that? The answer is because God gave the man chachma, he gave the woman bina. What's the difference? Chachma is the ability to absorb information. The man is much stronger in absorbing information. But then you have to know what to do with the information. For that you need bina. Bina is mevin davar mitoch davar. To understand one thing from another. So now, you understand everything. Look at 27, the Shvilei Pinchas. He says, a man needs to be a chacham. So he can be wise with the wisdom of the Torah. A man's job is to be a chacham. And men have stronger chacham. In other words, to understand complicated Gemara, to figure out what the halacha is. That's chachma. A man has that. He has to spend his whole life, and if he works, all his spare time. However, a woman needs extra bina to understand one thing from another, in order to have the discriminating eye of bina in terms of what things to do or to bring into the house that should have a positive influence to strengthen the spirit of Torah and awareness of Hashem in the house. Similarly, the opposite, what needs to be distanced from the house in order not to destroy the home, which will disable the family not to engage properly in Torah. In other words, the husband's job is to use his strength of chachma. He learns Torah. He comes home, he says, we're going to have a Torah home. Yeah, but now how are we going to do that? Oh, you have to have lots of bina to know how to have a Torah home. How to treat the children, how to discipline the children, how to make the children feel good about Yiddishkeit, how to make sure everybody's excited, to make sure it's easier to learn Torah, to make sure, the Gemara says, what do women get the merits? How do they get in Olam Haba? Because they make sure to take the children to the cheder, take them to school, to do carpools, to make sure they wait for the husband to come back from learning. The wife's job is to use the bina yaseira to do things even without the husband asking what has to be going on in the house. She doesn't have to wait for the husband to say, dear, you know, I have to go to learn. Can you take care of the kids? Oh, she goes, I have to take care of the kids. The guy's got to learn. He has to make this happen. So now, the Zohar says mystically, and I can't explain why, a yud is a symbol of chachma. Hey is the symbol of bina. And that's very good. A man is an ish. He has fire with yud for Torah. He should have fire for Torah. And Isha should have fire for Bina. If they use that for those things, then the Shekhinah, what Shekhinah is the letter Shin Chaf Yud Nun Hey, Shochein Yud Hey, Shochein Yud Hey. Hashem dwells. Hashem dwells in a house where the husband is using his Chachma to learn Torah, and the woman's using her Bina to make sure that, and what's that? As an Azer, to provide before the husband even asks what has to happen. And you'll see, as we'll learn further on stories with Rivka, that's exactly what Rivka does. Rivka knows what has to happen in the house. Therefore, she's the one who figures a way to Esav doesn't get the brachas in Yaakov. She doesn't ask Yitzchak what he wants. He knows, she knows Yitzchak wants things to be good. Yitzchak made a little mistake. But she has the bini aser to know it goes to Yaakov and not to Esav. and she doesn't even discuss it with him. She dresses up Yaakov, and that's from all that chesed. She says, well, it's not my business. I'm just a wife. I just sit back. No, Bina Yisera, you have to know the Ratzon Bala. You don't wait to be asked. You see the situation, and you make A from B, you understand what to do. Rivka had Bina. She sees the guy's thirsty. Well, of course his donkeys are thirsty. I got to wait for him to ask? So that's going to be the kind of wife she's going to be. A real Aser Kenendo. And that's what Eliezer himself did that. He himself took the initiative. He says, Hashem, I need help. This isn't going to happen by itself. Hashem, I'm making a siman. I'm making a sign. He took the initiative too. And that's how it turned out. This we can understand. Just finish up. I just forgot the one thing. If you look for a woman, you have to have good eyes. What's the good eyes? The good eyes is, we know of all the qualities, the best quality is an ayin tov. A good eye is not a pretty eye. An ayin tov means you're generous. An ayin ra means you're not generous. An ayin tov means I want to give to everybody. I'm always looking for an opportunity to give someone. So the Gemara is saying, if you want to check out a girl for a shidduch, if she has an ayin tov, if she has a good eye, her eyes are beautiful, meaning to say she wants to give. She's looking for opportunities to give. Once you got that, you don't want to look at anything else. Because everything else is going to fall into place. Chesed is the top of the spheros. If she's doing that, everything else is fine. You got nothing else to check. And that's what Rivka had. She had this ayin tov. So you see that as much as a shidduch is destined in heaven, but both the man and the woman have to be worthy for it. The man has to work on his midos, and he has to work on his Torah, and he has to work on his avoda, and the woman has to work on her ayin tov to have a good eye. And if they're worthy, then Hashem puts the two of them together, and under the heavens, it's the greatest simcha in the world for Hashem, that the zivug rishon manifests in the zivug sheni. And that's exactly what we're being taught in this parsha. If God forbid you live in a world where everybody has an ayin ra, and they don't care about the other one, I have to wait to be asked, and this and that, then you're not worthy. They get all the chorbanos and that. Hashem should help us. We should be zocha for ourselves to continue to be worthy, and for our children, and to guide them, and to other people who need advice. And we should always know of good simchas in the future. Amen.